Nick Roden, good morning.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And also Matthew Dewey, composer, who's speaking to us from Sydney. Good morning. If I can get the lines right. Matthew, good morning. Matthew, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Sorry about that. Change in lines there. And we are hoping at some point to talk to Rob Johnson, who's a PhD candidate from IMAS. In fact, Rob is in our Brisbane studio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, and of course, you all know each other, so that's
we do. Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well.
Well, thanks, Matt. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you too.
Yeah, so tell us, Nick and Rob, you're both PhD students, scientists, and you've done the research essentially which sort of informed Matthew's composition. But tell us how it all came about, Nick.
Well, that's a good topic, I guess. Good question. It came about through a scholarship program that the University of Tasmania were offering. Through the Linchpin organisation, which is a private scholarship program, who were looking to communicate important ocean science stories through using the arts, if you like. So it's an arts-science collaboration. And so how it came about, at the start of my PhD, this scholarship was offered, and we all came together.
So did you know Rob well?
I did, yes. I've known Rob for quite a while.
Yes, we go way back.
Yeah, he went to college with Rob. That's Hobart for you. but I hadn't met Matt before, Matthew. But I think what's come together is quite special.
Now, Nick, you're looking at changes to the ocean composition, things like acidification. And Rob, what's your PhD in?
So I look at the distribution and abundance of small microscopic algae that live in the ocean. These little critters that produce 50% of all the oxygen that we breathe. And these are the little guys that will be directly impacted by climate change, but also by things like the acidification that Nick works on. So I use a lot of remote sensing techniques, so satellite observations of the Earth to detect these tiny little guys that are in every water body across the globe.
So it's an interesting project, really. So you've done your research for your PhD, and then through this scholarship program, you're looking at ways to sort of express or communicate that research via a completely different medium, which in this case is music, which is where Matthew comes in. So, Matthew, how did you actually get involved?
Well, Sue got in contact with me, having heard some of my music already. Said, look, I've got a project. It's a bit unusual, a bit interesting. Would you be interested in coming along, having a cup of coffee, and I'll talk you through it? So, of course, I met up with her and we had a bit of a chat. And she painted this picture of an opportunity to assist in communicating the science through music. And specifically to communicate some of the emotional subtext of what all this means, and try to make sense in an emotional way, which is really what music does. And I said, well, it sounds fascinating. What does it all mean? What do you want? And we started talking about a symphonic outlet for the music, because it seemed that the grand story has this big and all encompassing impact that suited a symphonic flavour, and from that I then met the guys and here we are. I think it's 18 months later, or maybe a bit longer.
Yeah. Mm.
And we'll come to the actual product in a minute, but we should also mention that Sue is Sue Anderson, who is the coordinator of the scholarship program, the Linchpin project. Interestingly, Matthew, you say that you're looking at it from a symphonic approach. Do you think that, and any of you can answer this, does something like the Southern Ocean only lend itself to an orchestra?
Oh.
Or do you want to talk musically, or do you want to talk more broadly? I think musically, there are possibly other outlets as well. I think, choral music could work very well. But we're talking about not just the ocean, but what's happening to the ocean. And certainly one way, and I, I mean, I hope very successful. I guess we'll see when everybody gets an opportunity to hear the music, but I think one way of doing that is through the symphonic tradition.
And I guess to add to that, I think that, you know, it's probably better not to just have one way to experience this. You know, what Matt's done is just stunning, but there are so many different people out there that will enjoy it in so many different ways that, you know, having multiple approaches is probably the best way to do it.
Mm. And that's the very interesting thing about science communication as well, is that one method of communicating something very important mightn't reach everybody or a particular group of people in the way that you want it to. So this is just, as you said, Rob, this is just another way of exploring the science communication avenue. And seeing how we can get these very important messages about ocean science and what's happening to the ocean, and in particular, the incredibly important role that the oceans play in our everyday life and in supporting life on the planet.
Yes, and I guess, as you say, it's an interesting thing, isn't it, to go from, like, some of the facts that you're collecting and writing about to actually looking at the emotional side of the work that you've done. As scientists, Rob and Nick, is that a new direction, like, to sort of be able to express the emotion? I mean, obviously you have emotional connection to the work that you're doing and the places that you visit, but I guess this has given you an opportunity to actually put that in a practical form.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know how Matthew's done it, to be honest.
Neither do I.
Yeah. to actually hear the symphony for the first time, I was actually over there for the recording in Prague, and I was filming it. That was part of my role. To hear the music for the first time just made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It was quite incredible. So I'm not sure what that was exactly. The music was certainly speaking to me in some particular way. But I think every scientist has, I guess, an emotional connection to the science that they're studying. And I believe that Matt has somehow honed in on that emotional response and expressed it through music. So I can't wait for everyone to hear it.
We will play that in a moment. But let's look at the practical side of it. Matthew, it's taken 18 months. It's a project. It's going to culminate in a symphony CD, which will be available with a booklet containing a short essay by Rob on the science behind the symphony, as well as an artist statement from you and Sue Anderson. And I know, Nick, you're also working on a short film about the making of the symphony. But as Nick just referred to, it actually took you to Prague to see the film and the music recorded by the Czech National Symphony Orchestra. Mm. So, Matthew, how did that come about?
Well, I guess when you're looking at recording symphonic music, you're looking at really either getting an orchestra on board as part of a part of their season projects, and so that might be one of the state orchestras in Australia, but they plan with years ahead of time, and so we had an aspiration to get this out as soon as possible, frankly. And so we looked at the option then of hiring an orchestra. And this is through the assistance of Lynchpin. And so what we did was we looked all over the world. Now, a couple of years ago, I had a CD recorded with the Russian Philharmonic in Moscow. Very lucky for that to have come about through private assistance. And so I had some experience in going to Europe and looking at orchestras, and I said, to Sue and through Lynchpin to say, look, I think a good opportunity is let's not constrain ourselves to Australia. Let's look all over the world and see what options there are. And so we explored many, many orchestras around the world, and we ended up with the wonderful Czech National Symphony Orchestra.
And what interaction did you have, Rob, with the orchestra while you were there?
So I couldn't make it. I was here continuing the research. So Nick and Matt were were over in Prague. Nick, as he said, was doing the filming.
Off having fun.
Off swanning around Europe.
Being an artist rather than a scientist.
Exactly. And Nick's great like that. He has got such an artistic side and creative side that he brings to not only his science but to this project. And so Nick and Matt were there.
And Rob, the project, because we want to hear the music in a moment, but in terms of the project, what has it given you as a scientist?
It's really interesting. It's opened my eyes to the broader implications of my work, and certainly it's enabled me to communicate far more clearly the importance and the direct impact that these that's often missed by the general public. You know, life evolved in the ocean. We have this direct connection to it, and yet we often neglect that, and we really do forget the importance. You know, small phytoplankton that I work on, they create the air that we breathe. They produce the clouds. They even generate the smell of the sea. You know, they're so fundamentally important to what we do, but we miss that. And so being able to communicate that in this way has really opened my eyes to, one, the power of creative media and things like composition and like Nick said, I've got no idea how he actually pulled this off, but it certainly broadened my horizons and really opened my eyes.
And Nick, what about you?
Yeah, look, I think Rob pretty much nailed it there. I think it has really highlighted for me how important it is for our science to be communicated in as many different ways as possible. So as publicly funded scientists, I think we have a moral obligation to communicate our science to the public and to inform them about what's happening to the planet and to our oceans in general. So this has been a fantastic way of doing that, and I've thoroughly enjoyed every moment of it. So
congratulations. Matthew, just finally with you as a composer, has this been something different for you? What have you got out of it?
Well, yes. I mean, every project's different, but this has been quite amazing. You know, with all this stuff about, you know, how the world's changing and you know, we talk about climate change, we talk about, you know, ocean change and all these sorts of things. It's amazing for me to have had the opportunity to sit in a room with experts and talk to them about what it all means. And they say the guys have said they're not sure how I've pulled, you know, their emotion and put it into the music. Well, it's been very apparent hearing them tell the stories and listening to them talk about, you know, about this science that's so important and that they've dedicated their lives to. You know, all of the intensity of that has been fodder for me to put into the music. So in that sense, this project's been very different.
Matthew Dewey, congratulations, Tasmanian composer. And it's a 45-minute symphony, Ex Oceano. We are from the ocean. The ocean sustains us. And the recording will be available in early 2014 on iTunes and limited edition CD. And Nick Roden, thanks so much for coming in.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And Rob Johnson in Brisbane, thanks for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
And look, you know, often when I talk to scientists, and I'm looking at a photo of you, Nick, here, where you spent a year in Antarctica collecting samples for your PhD, for your research, I often ask, what does it sound like? And I guess now we can have an idea. Thanks, that's great. Thank you. the music of Tasmanian composer Matthew Dewey, and it's taken from the short film that Nick Roden is working on, The Making of a Symphony, and it's part of the production of a 45-minute symphony, Ex Oceano, a combination of work between Matthew Dewey, Nick Roden, and fellow scientist Rob Johnson. And just talking to Nick before he headed out the door, and he said, you know, whatever Matthew's done, he's managed to capture the sounds and the essence of not just Antarctica, but the science, the research that we do. And he was talking about looking down the microscope at phytoplankton and seeing how amazing they are, and some of them being opal in colour and structure. And he felt that Matthew's piece just then captured that for him anyway.